Hey, Mujer, it's Micaela, host of the Fearless Mujer podcast. What is the Fearless Mujer? It is a space for the mujer who ever felt rejected, misunderstood, and without a seat at the table. If you are ready to renew your mindset, let go of old versions that no longer serve you, and you're ready to be inspired to fearlessly pursue the dreams on your heart, then I invite you for a virtual cup of cafecito. You can listen to the Fearless Mujer on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and wherever you podcast.
What's good, everybody? We hope you guys are having a great day so far. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Scaredy Cats podcast. For those of you guys who are new here, allow us to introduce ourselves. We are your hosts, Sway and Liz. And on this podcast, we talk about true crime, ghost stories, and basically anything scary that you can think of. We're going to talk about it. So if any of that interests you, make sure to add us to your favorites and tune in every Wednesday for a brand new episode.
And we also review the latest scary movies. And if you have any stories you'd like us to talk about, please feel free to send in your requests on any of our social media pages at Scaredy Cats podcast, and that's Scaredy Cats with a K.
I did say this in the last episode, but you know, it's fairly new on our website, whether it be on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, or even TikTok. If you click on it, if you scroll a little bit, you know, like halfway, there is going to be a little section where you can insert your ideas and it'll send it to our email.
Yeah, guys, because we'd really like to stay in tune with you guys, and we also want to talk about topics that you guys want to hear us do, because honestly, like, this podcast wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys. So we truly appreciate all your support, and we're growing pretty fast.
Yes,
and
we are fast.
Honestly, guys, like, I know it's barely April, but I'm already looking forward to October.
Same. Honestly, here where we're at, the weather has been on and off. A few weeks ago it was snowing, then it's raining, and then it gets super cold.
It's just a mixture.
Just like, this does not feel like spring weather at all.
It doesn't. Like, I remember around this time of year last year, I was already riding my bike.
Yeah.
And I've been craving, guys. I love bike riding.
Yeah. Honestly, it feels like we're, like, skipping spring and going straight to summer at this point.
Right.
And before we get into the episode, if you haven't listened to last week's episode where we talk about the origins of the Ouija board, go listen to it. It was literally last week. Honestly, gave me the chills just talking about it. Also, if you guys didn't know, we do YouTube, and it's called Sway and Liz. That's, you know, our personal brand, I would say. You know, like,
where it's our main brand.
Yeah, it's our main brand.
But if you guys love scary stuff, you know, because our podcast is literally all about scary stuff, we do a lot of scary videos on our YouTube, so definitely check those out. I mean, we do, like, watching scary TikTok videos,
which we just did.
Yeah, we just did. And, like, videos to not watch alone. I mean, we do so many. We even did one about abandoned places, which was really scary. Cool, because we did the Chernobyl, like, plant one. We did a couple, and there's even, like, this hotel that was, like, at the edge of a cliff that had some crazy story. So if you guys want to see more of what we have, definitely check out our YouTube.
Yeah, guys, so with all that being said, let's dive into today's story, which has to do with the Warrens. Yes, the paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren. If you guys haven't listened to our podcast episodes where we cover some of the Warren cases, go check those out. Episode 37 is where we talked about the true story of Annabelle, and episode 23 we dove into the true story of the Conjuring House, which was very creepy. So I recommend you guys to listen to those if you're interested in any other cases the Warrens were involved. But today's story has to do with the movie that came out about a year ago, and it's the true story of The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It.
So on February 16th, 1991, Arnie Cheyenne Johnson repeatedly stabbed his landlord, Alan Bono, with the 5-inch pocket knife, who would later die due to his wounds in the hospital. At the time, Arnie was only 19 years old, which is so very young, but he worked at Wright Tree Services and had recently moved with his girlfriend, Debbie Glitzel, into a room right next to the Brooksfield Pet Motel, where she worked as a dog groomer. And prior to the crime, though, Debbie's younger brother, David, was being tormented by something evil, and something that he described to look like a man with black eyes, animal-like features, rotten teeth, horns, and hooves. Ugh. Just, that's weird. But David claimed that this evil entity spoke to him and told him to beware. This all started when the Glitzel family were cleaning out a new house and they were moving into it. In one of the rooms, the previous tenants had left behind a waterbed. While David was by himself looking at the waterbed, he decided to lay down on it. And he would further describe that it felt as if someone was inside the waterbed. And honestly, like, after, like, learning about the story and watching that part in the movie, I would never sit in a waterbed. Going back into it, he felt as a hand was touching him. As he was about to get off, though, something grabbed him and was was sinking him into the waterbed. He began to scream and yell, and once he got off, he looked around to see if maybe Arnie or Debbie was messing with him. But oddly enough, David stated that he saw an old man with a flannel-type t-shirt and sharp, creepy-looking teeth. He said that the man smiled at him and then vanished into thin air. And I couldn't imagine being that young and, like, seeing that. Yeah. That'd be so weird.
And remember the scene in the movie?
Yeah.
When he's laying down and it shows, like, the upper view and it shows, like, the face of somebody.
I don't want to remember that. Yeah.
But 11-year-old David would then continuously have nightmares about this entity who would appear to him throughout the day as an old man. But at night, it would be what he stated as the beast, aka the devil himself, as he described earlier before with hooves and horns. But as time went by, David would wake up with unexplainable scratches all over his body, which then led him to start acting odd. The family reported that little David would try biting them at times, and he would also swear and spit at them. Unfortunately, after many attempts of getting help from the local Catholic church, the Glitzel family ended up getting in touch with Ed and Lorraine Warren, who were paranormal investigators at the time. They sat down and interviewed the young boy, and Lorraine said that she could feel something very dark within David. The Warrens claimed that over 43 demons were possessing him. Both Abby and Arnie had been present at some exorcisms that Ed and Lorraine Warren had conducted on David. The Warrens claimed that Arnie Johnson had repeatedly demanded and challenged the devil to take him instead of David. And within just a few days of Arnie saying this, his mood began to change. Debbie said that whatever was tormenting her little brother seemed to have followed Arnie that night. David stopped seeing this old man and was no longer having nightmares about the beast. Debbie stated that Arnie would go into these trance where he would rock back and forth, mumbling words and growling and saying that the beast is looking at him, but then he would snap out of it and had no memory of it.
I feel like that's crazy to me because, like, this spirit or, like, this demon had so much power to completely, like, take over him. And then at the end, like, you know, when he snaps out of it, like, he has no memory of it.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. Like, he must have a lot of power, right? Mm-hmm. How creepy would it be if someone created a haunted house of this case? Imagine, like, you're going upstairs, you're walking past the waterbed. My God, no.
No, they definitely should do that at a haunted house for Halloween.
That would be crazy. Like a Ed and Lorraine, like the Warrens, like the haunted house.
Conjuring haunted house.
Yeah, there you go. Like That'd a theme. Creepy. That would be crazy. But fast forwarding to the days prior to the murder, as reported, Arnie had called him to work that day before because he was feeling very nauseous. Debbie described that his eyes seemed as if they were sunken into his face. He had large red marks all around his eyes and he was very pale. When Ed and Lorraine saw him, he was possessed and he stated to them that something very violent was going to happen to the family very soon. Then he snapped out of it and once again had no memory of what he was saying. The following day, Alan Bono, the landlord, had invited them to lunch at the Mug and Munch Cafe. Creepy enough, this place is actually still open to this day, and Debbie had taken her 9-year-old sister with them to lunch, and people at the cafe had reported that Alan was actually drinking pretty heavily. Once they got back to the house, Alan had grown very annoyed with Mary, the 9-year-old sister, and he grabbed her and began to yell at her. Arnie yelled at him to stop, and after they got into a fight, Debbie said that while they were fighting, Arnie started growling like a dog. Sorry, side note, it's kind of a coincidence because the last episode we talked about, she was growling like a dog too.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah.
The story that we talked about Estefania,
yeah.
She played the Ouija board. After a while, she started barking at her siblings and started running at them as like a dog on four legs.
That's so and weird.
Now, he's not doing that, but he's barking like a dog.
Yeah, so that's pretty crazy. But she actually stated that he was unstoppable when she tried to break up the fight. After this, Arnie pulls out a 5-inch pocket knife and begins stabbing Alan repeatedly. He had about 5 deep wounds on his stomach and on his chest and 1 stabbing in his heart. And like we said earlier, he would later then die at the hospital due to the wounds.
Debbie said that after the murder, Arnie got up and began to walk away. When she yelled his name, she said that he wouldn't even respond. Police then found Arnie walking 2 miles away from the scene of the crime, covered in blood, having no memory of what he just had done. The murder quickly became internationally known, and there were plenty of evidence depicting that this was a real demonic possession. And that was the defense going into trial on October 28, 1981, but the judge would later reject the defense of not guilty by virtue of demonic possession, and the jury wasn't allowed to consider the demonic possession as a defense in the trial. On November 24, 1981, Arnie Cheyenne Johnson was found guilty of first-degree manslaughter and was sentenced up to 10 to 20 years in prison, but he would then be released from prison for good behavior after only serving 5 years. This was the first known court case in the United States in which the defense to prove innocence based upon the claim of demonic possession. Arnie is still alive to this day, but sadly Debbie did pass away due to cancer a few years back.
I find that interesting because I never knew that that they can do that in court.
Right.
But that would be like a really good like episode or like a YouTube video to do about cases that, you know, they were proven not guilty due to demonic possession.
Yeah.
That would be pretty interesting to look into.
One thing that I did see a lot of people mention when I was, you know, looking up the article on this is that they said that what if he was just using that as an excuse, you know, how he recalled that he challenged whatever demonic thing was going on with David. What if he used that as an excuse and during the heat of the moment he was just mad at the guy because he was drunk and he was disrespecting his wife's, you know, little sister, and what if he was just like
lashed out
and just began stabbing this guy?
Hmm.
And then out of nowhere, you know, he was just like shocked at what he just did, so he got up and started walking, and then he just like, I'm gonna go with the demonic possession thing.
That's kind of hard to, I don't know,
right?
I don't really know, because that's pretty, that like stumped me,
right?
Yeah,
right. But what is weird is that when David was being possessed, he wrote verses of the Bible which he had never read. He would write it on piece of papers or engrave them on tables and woods.
Hmm.
and the family stated that he never read the Bible.
That's weird.
He was a little kid too, so I wouldn't assume for him to read the Bible, but that is weird. And another creepy thing is that David said that Arnie would fall off a tree, which in fact he later did when after Arnie, you know, challenged the devil, saying, you know, take me instead of David. When he was working, he was like standing on top of a ladder and he was like cutting a tree. He ended up falling off the ladder.
That's weird.
Yeah. What's creepy too is that what makes this is another part that was a little skeptical on the police side is that Lorraine had contacted the police like a few hours or that day when they talked to him, and he said that something very, you know, bad was going to happen to the family. After that encounter they had with Arnie, they ended up contacting the police and said that if something bad happens in the house, they have been warned. Lorraine called the police and said that to them.
Wow. And like they didn't
and it ended
act
up
on
happening.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, like, you think that the police officers would have acted on it right away, you know, just in case, you know, just to play it safe.
But you know how back then when they were paranormal investigators, they were like taken seriously.
Yeah.
They thought that they were like hoax, or they just thought it was,
they
basically didn't think the paranormal and like the evil was real.
Yeah.
They didn't, police, they're like, you know, that's not real. He murdered a person. So they didn't really take Lorraine and Ed seriously until it actually happened.
Yeah.
Another thing that I find interesting as well, it was that the first recorded murder in the town in 193 years.
That's a very long time.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was kind of like somewhat of a safe place to live, right?
It was like a little, it was like a little small town. But Arnie and Debbie then got married while he was in prison.
Which is sweet.
Yeah. And he ended up getting his high school diploma, and he also got a college degree as
well. So obviously, he was using his time wisely in there.
Yeah, he was. But the Warrens had over 100 hours of recorded evidence of these possessions, and the Glitzel family actually ended up signing off on the footage saying that it was real. So then that just brings it back to whether it was something in the heat of the moment or was he actually possessed. Because if you really think about it, David stopped experiencing those, being tormented by what he was saying it was
after,
a beast. And then Arnie started experiencing what David was experiencing, but then the murder happened. So then that just leaves, like, it's just weird. Like, did
it's
was it
in
the
between.
Heat of the moment, or was he actually possessed?
Yeah.
What would you say?
I'm just gonna go with possessed. Makes more sense.
You think so?
if he did it in the heat of the moment, obviously, like, that's pretty weird, but I'd rather believe that he was possessed, I guess. I don't know.
I guess I would say I'd go with him being possessed because he was, I mean, barking at this man like a dog.
Yeah. I find that interesting that people who are possessed, you hear a lot of stories of them like growling.
They're just like acting like a dog.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Basically because they're acting like an animal.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Like it turns them into an animal.
Yeah. Exactly. But what do you guys think about this? Was this a hoax like some people claim? Did Arnie just lose his cool? What do you guys think about this case? And let us know what you guys thought about it, because we'd love to hear you guys' opinions.
Yes, guys. But we want to thank you for joining us today on this spooky episode. Don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at the Scaredy Cats Podcast, and that's Scaredy Cats with a K. Also, if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review letting us know what you loved about it. We would really appreciate it. But without further ado, we are out.
Peace.
He made a fatal mistake. One night he said, and he screamed at these devils, "Take me on. Leave my little buddy alone."
He challenged.
Well, he got his wish.